Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
And now, a guy with 20 $10,000 robes at home. Two times. Right. Well-timed. Steve Zabin!
Boys, top of the morning. I am so tickled that you have now seen the Ric Flair 30 for 30, and I can't wait to dig in with our book club. And we're going to save a little time at the end for this Jerry Jones potential lawsuit against fellow owners over the Roger Goodell contract. It looks like Jerry has taken a run at the king. We'll see, though.
I have to throw something out there before we start the Ric Flair discussion. It has Ric Flair in it, okay?
Okay.
And the reason I want to toss it out there is I just don't want it to get lost. We said yesterday, you made it book club assignment. You have to watch Nature Boy 30 for 30 on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
I had it recorded. Brian, you gave Brian a link to watch it.
I went to Apple TV, clicked on TV shows, got to the 30 for 30 menu, and everything was there.
It was right there.
Everything was there.
Apple TV.
Yep.
Great work. Good.
Very nice.
All right. So,
for the record, the link was what? The link you were going to send? What?
I didn't send it.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's.
I saw a squirrel.
Squirrel.
Here's my fact. Here's my fact, not a stat. It's this will blow your mind.
Oh, is it a fact of the day?
No.
I don't have music.
Let me do it first. It's not a fact of the day. It's not a stat of the day. It's not. It's not a stat. There's no numbers.
Look at you. You're melting under
fact
the pressure.
Of the day.
The three of us, know somebody who wrestled Ric Flair when he was in high school.
Wow.
We know
Behold
him.
Behold your fact of the day. You know this is Ric Flair's entrance music, right?
Is it?
Oh, it is, isn't
yes
it?
Yeah. Yeah. Ric Flair. Woo! Yeah.
Okay, let me guess who that is.
Okay, take a run at it. All right, now keep in mind, he went to boarding school. His
high
parents
school
shipped him off to boarding school in
Joe
Beaver
Panos
Dam. No, too old for Panos.
He was born
I'm
in
out, then.
49.
Yeah, he's 68. He's 68 years
we
old.
We know someone.
Yeah. I'll toss this out there, too.
Fleer.
They're a sponsor, and they golf in our golf outing every year.
I'm out.
Okay, you're out. Brian, you want to make a run at this?
Who is 68 and a sponsor at the golf outing?
We've got a lot to cover. We don't have time for these effing games. Let's go.
Brian Sider, our friend over at Sider Heating and Cooling, wrestled him in high school. I said, how did that go? He goes, not good. He said, not good for me.
Wow.
He said he was a man among boys when
in high
school. Why
don't you explain who Brian Sider is, Bob?
He is my daughter's father-in-law.
There you go.
Yeah.
So he's the you to your kids' wives.
Yes.
Or husbands.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good man, too. Good golfer.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Wrestled Richard Fleer.
In high school.
Played
football against him, too.
So here is my quick thoughts on the documentary. And I want to preface this by saying that my total number of documentary producing credits is zero. I've done none of these. But I do watch them. And a lot of times I'm sort of always wanting more in certain ways. But I think that the lack of a narrator hurt this 30 for 30 badly. Did you notice that they didn't have a narrator nor a script nor
well,
a voiceover track?
You said that they didn't have one, so yeah, I noticed it right away, but I sort of forgot.
There's
about
so
it
much info. Did I go through these points yesterday?
You said they didn't have a narrator.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if it's because they're getting cheaper and cheaper all the time.
You said you didn't want to wreck the ending, though, so.
Okay, so that hurt, you know, because there's. Did I go through these questions yesterday? Because I won't do it again today. I apologize.
I do not remember any questions.
Okay. Question. How much money did Ric Flair actually make in a good year at his peak?
They never covered that.
They never mentioned.
Nah, I know.
Now he did say.
Don't you think that's a sort of an important point of a documentary?
Well, wait a second. They did.
About a limousine riding, jet flying, alligator shoe wearing.
Yeah.
How do you not say, here's how much he, and even if you don't have a hard, even if you won't admit to it, say it's estimated that Ric Flair made as much as this, which would have put him in the line with baseball player X or, you know. No? Here's another one. How do contracts in wrestling work? They glossed over the whole WCW executive who came in and then was, you know, screwed up the negotiation with Flair and pushed him out of the promotion over to the WWE. They glossed over that in 2 seconds. Galdi told me yesterday on my show, he said, yeah, that executive that came in to run the WCW, he used to work at like Burger King. He was like an executive at some fast food joint, had no idea about the business.
Thought we can get anybody to be the king,
totally,
wear the crown.
Totally bungled that negotiation. Pushed their biggest, most marketable star right out the door, right across the street to the other promotion. Question, how come he and Hulk Hogan didn't wrestle at WrestleMania? They glossed over that in about 60 seconds.
Right, because they had wrestled in the past, but never at a WrestleMania.
They did 10 house shows.
Yeah.
Right. House shows, but this was supposed to be the big one. He's finally over in this league, and now they're going to set up this big match at their biggest event.
And even
at
Hulk
last
Hogan,
minute,
even
they
Hulk
switched.
Said,
yeah,
that would have blown the roof off the place had those two wrestled that night.
Right. Who did it? Why? You could barely even see what the matches were as they showed the card. Like, instead it was this guy.
It looked like Ric Flair wrestled Randy Macho Man Savage that night.
Yeah, okay. So there's a lot that could have been explored there. And the big one to me was, where was Vince? You're going to do a 30 for 30 on one of the Mount Rushmore wrestlers, and you're not going to include Vince McMahon?
But he was the guy running the other operation for most of the documentary.
But Vince still signed him.
Yeah.
For the second half of Ric Flair's career, Vince has a very dominant personality and has very specific ideas about what he wants, how he wants it. And here comes Ric Flair, who already had his whole shtick developed and was a bigger star than Vince. How did they get along? Did they clash? Did they see eye to eye? Even if Vince McMahon wouldn't agree to sit down with ESPN for the documentary, which is possible, although I don't know if that's the case, you got to talk about, okay, how was it with the two?
Well, you could have asked Ric Flair, what was your relationship like with Vince McMahon?
Well, maybe they did, and the answer just wasn't very good.
Okay, with all that said, those are things that weren't asked or addressed in the documentary or glossed over quickly. Would you have edited some things out to make it a 90-minute or yet to go through those things,
no,
or would you have added more time?
No, 90 minutes was, I think, an appropriate length. I would have just tightened up a lot on the early stuff. The good stuff didn't come till about an hour and 10 minutes in, with the death of his son due to overdose, and then the rise of his daughter.
Yeah, that was hard to watch.
Of course it was. So I just would have tightened up the early stuff, that's all. And the cartoon animations,
eh. I've seen that in other...
Yeah, it stuck out like it was sort of weird. I'm like, I don't know, just tell the story of Ric Flair buying 137 kamikazes at a Holiday Inn in Wichita.
I saw that same kind of animation in a documentary about North Korea and escaping from North Korea.
Right.
Maybe it's really affordable.
That's just a technique that, you know, they used to
illustration
move the story.
I would love to know how much did he get paid to wrestle for an hour in front of 200 people.
I bet it was $100. $100 to $200.
Question, if he didn't like married life, why did he get married again?
Four times.
And have more kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was...
Here's another question.
There was so much time wasted on the Sally Jesse Raphael show appearance.
What they have footage of, you know?
They had footage of other stuff, too.
Yeah. They didn't have footage of him leaving his wives.
I would have...
Okay. I was enthralled by it. I thought it was amazing unto its own right. I just... There's so many things that are left unanswered.
Why do you buy a $2 million home if you hate being home?
He was probably compensated.
Because it wasn't about living at the home. It was about having the home.
And
it was about
all,
having the shoes and the
yes, because he
outfits
had
and the cars and the planes. It was just about having
a limousine
it.
Riding, high-flying, son of a gun, is not going to have some chump ranch that's $400,000.
It was like,
of course, he's going to have a $2 million.
When his daughter was talking about, well, he didn't spend any time with me. We'd come back with 20 Cabbage Patch kids. Ric Flair judged his life on, I don't know, quantity. It was tragic.
Oh yeah,
it was
sad.
It was
on a personal level with his family. It was awful. Like I said, it was heartbreaking. The end of it, watching it.
But did you feel any better about Ric Flair at the end of it, or worse?
I was really pretty neutral about him because it just never followed Ric Flair. As uninterested as I am in wrestling, I thought it was a very interesting documentary, and I think he's a lousy person.
I don't think he's a lousy person. I think he's just, like you said, he loved his kids in quantity. That's okay. Here, how can you doubt my love for you? I just brought you 20 cabbage patch dolls.
His first two kids were barely in the documentary, didn't have much to say about him. His one son, who wanted to be like him, he said he regretted being his best friend when he should have been his father.
Yeah.
And
he's drinking with him at the bar.
Kid he has a relationship with is his daughter, who he has a relationship with because she got into wrestling.
How about, right, if she was a concert violinist.
Yeah, see you later.
It's like, sorry, I gotta go make some money because I blew it all and I owe the government back taxes. Tell me that Triple H wasn't badass compelling in terms of just his demeanor on screen when he was talking about the drug test.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They cut right in.
So what?
Ric Flair is a great liar.
Did he
He'll
run
tell you exactly.
Operation?
Oh yeah, no. He basically Triple H, as he rose to stardom wrestling under Vince in the late 90s peak of the WWE/F or F/E. I forget which week. I think it was WWF at first.
Stardust F, and then
now it's
World Wildlife Fund sued them.
Exactly.
And they had to be the WWE.
When Triple H came to stardom as the mega heel, he had ingratiated himself enough to Vince that he ended up marrying his daughter, Stephanie, and now he runs day-to-day the WWE. And I think he's very sharp and very smart and gets the business and is no BS. And so when they cut to him going, Ric Flair's a great liar. He'll tell you exactly what you want to hear.
I was a little stunned when I heard that. I thought, whoa, where's this going?
It was like, wait, we were talking about what a nice guy he was, and now this?
Yeah.
And then he's like, here's the drug test. And Rick's like, nah, it can't be. And there's just a dead-eyed Triple H going, hey, man. The test doesn't lie.
Yeah, the test doesn't lie. People
I'll
lie.
Do it
the test doesn't lie.
Right, but because
I'll do it again.
You, we'll test him again.
Right. Second one, worse than the first.
Yeah.
Well, he told
him. And Ric Flair was like, oh, man, it can't be.
He told, when he said, I'm not supposed to tell you, but I'm telling you, I'll test him again. Wink, wink.
Right.
Get
so
him cleaned
so
up.
You know when the test is coming.
Yeah.
And it was worse than the first one. Yeah. And Ric Flair was no kind of father.
No. Addicted to the fame.
But, you know, why did his parents adopt him and then just pay no attention to
then
him?
Then lateral him off?
Yeah, they lateral him off.
They
sent him to boarding school.
Tried to buy.
They never came to any of his sporting events.
No, I think there was a picture of him in football pads.
The parents only came to three things in his whole career.
Yeah.
But they were an odd match. I mean, the family portraits from the Olin Mills studios, or I don't know if you guys had Olin Mills.
That was the of course portrait. We had Olin Mills. They used to be over on Silver Spring.
Okay, so Appleton, that was a national portrait chain back in the day. Those family portraits with his square-ass dad and his crew cut, the head of the Community Theater Association of America.
And he was a physician, so.
Right, but I get where he treats his kids from. I mean, it's obvious he's going to treat his kids the way he was treated, and he did.
Well, how about his dad walking into his house? $2 million home. His dad goes, "What is all?
Who needs all this?
Yeah, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Yeah, didn't say, wow, great
Thanks
place.
Thanks a lot.
Right, you're doing well.
My father-in-law did something similar to my current house when it was just completed. But only because he's a simple man. He worries about his daughter and his son-in-law. Can they make the payments on this thing?
Well, that's different than what's
all
this about.
No, he didn't say that.
Yeah.
But
this is right up with Johnny Cash. Remember his dad?
I was just thinking that.
His dad was the same way.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. Watch Walk the Line. Kind of the same storyline as far as father-son relationship. Yeah. He could never please his father.
Yeah.
How about your boy Vern Gagne? Bob, did you like that story?
Vern was old
school. Slapped him right to the ground.
Yeah.
Bang, you're not a quitter. Get in the car.
Vern
you're not quitting.
Yeah, Vern ran the AWA.
Gonna quit quitting right now.
The The animation, though, of the workout was pretty good to imagine. Firemen carrying other wrestlers all the way up.
21 stories. We don't have a lot of equipment, not a lot of weight, so just carry each other.
Here, let me find an empty building that's got 21 flights of stairs.
Yeah.
And that's where we'll train.
And that was bad enough, but when you said yesterday they did the wheelbarrows up the stairs, I thought, he's misspeaking. You can't
wheelbarrow
upstairs, not 21 flights. And they on their hands, somebody holding their legs up. And the guys were talking about how they would smash their faces when their arms would collapse because their triceps were just on fire.
Right.
Yeah.
That was good stuff. And you saw very early footage of Richard Fleer as Ric Flair with
dark hair,
brown hair,
doughy
and
body.
Very doughy.
Yeah. 300 pounds.
Yeah.
He was 300 pounds. And then he got in the plane crash.
Right, and lost all that weight and had to build it back up again. Yeah. You know what I found really disturbing? And it has nothing to do with the wrestlers themselves, is the crowd shots of the people crying at these matches.
Oh, yeah.
So involved with what's going on. So
like Ric Flair's final match?
Right. So,
which the Heartbreak Kid says,
my God, it's like,
I love you, and then he knocks him out and pins him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I love you, Spartacus.
What's so alarming about that, Brian?
The people believing it so much that they're crying at the result? Are you kidding me?
Why not?
It's like going to a play.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah. It's
right. It's like crying at a Sopranos brilliant final aria at the opera. You're moved to tears by the moment, by the theater of it all. No? What about if you go to a play and you watch a great actor perform a brilliant role? You're not allowed to cry at that?
I didn't know. I think they're two different things.
Bob, I didn't know your partner was so anti-wrestling.
I knew it. He thinks we're all idiots. All of us who watch wrestling.
As a kid, I would watch it and go, this is just horseshy.
It's no worse than watching cartoons.
Exactly.
We all watch cartoons.
Cartoons
are fake. People cartoons.
Well,
is all
I
it was. There were good
a,
guys.
I think there's a difference in that.
Fake, good, it's choreographed.
It is. And those guys are great athletes.
They take real bumps. They get real injuries.
I never said that wasn't true. I know they do. I know it's physically demanding.
Yeah. Some of those moves that, who was it, Ricky Steamboat and Ric Flair had? Those were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
And those are
and
big
they
guys
would,
flying
And they
around.
Would cut themselves to show blood. Galdi told me yesterday, he goes, that there is one point where Vince McMahon was furious at Ric Flair because he bladed himself, to bleed, and it was not approved beforehand, and Vince was moving away from the blood in professional wrestling, making it more family-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the difference, too, between the WWE and
WCW?
Yeah. Was because they said WWE was after the kids. They knew if the kids were into it, the parents would bring them.
Right.
That was Hulk Hogan.
WCW the hardcore adult rednecks.
They said they wanted guys
who wanted
to just see people fight.
The kind of America Brian Nelson despised.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
The kind of America you loathe, you elitist.
Oh, I do. I'm afraid these people vote.
They do vote occasionally.
I know. It scares
and randomly.
Me.
But they forget sometimes, Ryan, so there's that. Or they're busy. They're going out for a pack of smokes, man.
I'll tell you what else I found kind of, I don't know what the word for it is. Hulk Hogan and the other people he wrestled with said he was really giving. They didn't think of himself. He tried to make the other guy look good.
Oh, look better in the ring.
In the process,
he said it made you better,
right? Him look good.
Right.
Yeah.
But
he was a consummate showman.
No generosity with his family or his time.
He knew how to wrestle. He didn't know how to be a dad or a husband.
Yeah.
He knew how to do that. That came natural to him. Everything else seemed to be a real challenge, like being alone. He could not be alone ever. He always had to be around somebody.
Yeah.
There always had to be something happening.
Right. It had to be some kind of action.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Jim Ross saying about how, after a show, you just couldn't go back to your room. You had to go to the bar. A party had to be started somehow.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have heard from more wrestlers. They had a decent smattering of guys, but not enough for my liking, or more. I would like more of them. I thought adding Michelle Beadle was unnecessary and pointless. I thought adding Maria Menounos, who is great to look at, was the hugest WTF ever.
Didn't really get either of those.
I'm like, what? Who's what? Why is she talking about
me
right
now? No, that could easily have been 2 hours, but it wasn't.
So what's the basic story arc of Ric Flair? Ric Flair rose to fame, developed a personality, became the most popular guy, wrestled, switched leagues, had a kid who had a drug problem and died, and now almost died himself.
And his daughter is a big wrestling. Yeah.
Like the whole premise of 30 for 30 is, what if I told you? Which is the hook that says, here's a story you might not believe because it's so interesting. Not sure that Ric Flair...
Does it climb up into the realm of unbelievable?
Not really.
I think it reached unbelievable. There's nothing that I went, wow. I mean, he wrestled a lot, you know, a lot of nights in a row and different towns and all that stuff.
That's stuff I never knew.
Every night.
Yeah.
That is really insane that these guys would go around tiny town to tiny town wrestling for a couple $100 and then maybe blowing all that money on drinks in a bar at night.
But I knew that the wrestling world started out in rinky-dink towns and, you know, small places and no money. I knew that.
There's nothing earth-shattering there. Yeah, right. And you said he grew up watching The Crusher and Dick the Bruiser. And
I heard those names and I was like, that's Bob Madden.
Right. And he stole that one dude's act. He said he was always tan,
blonde.
His name and his hair color and style.
And I knew there was another Nature Boy, and it hit me. Steve, I woke up this morning and went, it's Nature Boy Kirby. That's who it was. That was the other Nature Boy, because I remember going, wait, this is...
Did they mention that in the documentary?
No. I just remembered it this morning.
Who was the Nature Boy they mentioned in the documentary?
That was the guy who was a wrestler when he was a kid that he liked. Nature Boy Kirby was out probably about the same time Ric Flair was out, and he kind of won the Nature Boy title, it seemed like, because I don't know whatever happened to Nature Boy Kirby, but I found him here this morning. There he is. Roger Kirby, Nature Boy Kirby.
Nature Boy.
Yeah. Nature Boy apparently is big in the wrestling world. You want to be Nature Boy.
I don't know what that means. What does Nature Boy mean?
Stolen by two other people.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Nature Boy means. Nature Boy.
No, he's got a Facebook page.
Yeah.
Roger Nature Boy Kirby.
He'll do an appearance at a Holiday Inn in Wichita, Kansas for a couple $100.
How'd you like the Snoop stuff? It was real quick.
The notable from Snoop was he's going gray on top, which is a sad reminder that we're all getting old quick.
He wears glasses all the time, too, now.
Yeah.
He's a game show host.
Yeah.
He's Snoop Gramps is what he is.
He's doing Joker's Snoop. Wild on TBS.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, did you know that?
He's the host of Joker's Wild.
Yeah. He's very very mainstream as a rapper.
Yeah.
But he said that because Ric Flair was like an honorary black guy.
Yeah. We all wanted to be like Ric Flair. He got it. He understood us. I'm not sure why Ric Flair.
A dysfunctional home-wrecking drinker that liked to bet a lot of women.
Right. I don't think that was on any of Ric Flair's effort. It was just something the African American community found cool.
I guess. I don't know.
Ric Flair wasn't reaching out to black people.
I didn't think his whole shtick about limousine flying, kiss stealing, got a hold of these alley. I didn't think that was particularly good, that whole spiel.
Why, like, Steve, you sound anti-wrestling now.
No,
if I may say.
I just thought that whole spiel interrupted by periodic woos was, I don't know.
like a tick?
Like, woo! To me, my favorite wrestler of all time, and I don't think will ever be topped, is Stone Cold Steve Austin. And when he was at his peak in the mid to late 90s, he had a simple catchphrase, and that was, because Stone Cold said so. He would wrap up every one of his spiels on the mic with, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. And his signature move was to get up after winning a match on the turnbuckle, raise his fist to the crowd, and then have somebody with the promotion toss him two Coors Lights, which he would open and then pour down his throat on the turnbuckle. Sometimes he would grab three of them at once, open them up, and then pour them down his neck while standing on the turnbuckle. It was still
awesome.
Unbelievable.
So his
and unfortunately, Vince got away from that because he wanted to clean it up because he felt that was important for the direction of the company that you can't be doing this because
you're
trying to get
really?
The kids in. Yeah.
Right. He wanted the kids. He knew if the kids were there, the parents would bring them.
Yeah, but the simple Austin 316 as his – you know, his motto and the because Stones Gold said so and the beer. That's
kind of a ripoff of Baron von Raschke.
What did
he do? That's all the people need to know.
That's how he ended all his interviews. And that is all the people need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, everything's a ripoff of something, right?
I guess. He gave it a little different spin.
But everyone has their favorite wrestlers, and I'm sure millions and millions of people still look at Ric Flair as their favorite wrestler. I kind of wish that they had secured the budget from ESPN to do a proper rewrite ending after his near-death experience. Instead, they slipped it in with 10 minutes to go as a sort of a bump back, like, oh, by the way, Ric Flair almost died, but he's alive now, so here's a picture. All right, now back to the documentary that's already in the can.
Texter says, I was disappointed rock and roll Buck Zumhoff wasn't interviewed. Flair smashed a lot of huge boomboxes across his back.
How do you smash a a boom box?
The boom box, the big
Who is that again?
Rock and roll Buck Zumhoff. Yeah, not to be confused with the honky tonk man whose finishing move is to smash his guitar over his opponent.
Oh my
boom.
God!
Boom!
Look at the picture of Buck Zumhoff. Mm-hmm.
That's rock and roll Buck Zumhoff.
Oh, my God.
Some of those look like mug shots. Has he been in trouble?
I'm sure he's a former wrestler.
Yeah, this is a mug shot.
Okay.
What do you expect?
Oh, Buck, what have you done?
Sentenced to more than 25 years in jail for sex crimes.
Buck and Bull? Rock and roll Buck Zumhoff? Really?
Hard to believe.
So, yeah, the honky-tonk man whose move was to take his guitar after he... Did he wrestle in his Elvis outfits, or did he zip out of that and wrestle in the proper shorts?
I'm out of my depth.
Yeah, so am I.
I'm out of my depth.
Where's Galdi when you need him, right?
Yeah. We'll have to pay him for his next appearance. He's done doing the free ones, he says, for you guys.
That's what he said.
How much does it take to get
pull,
him on?
Did he pull you aside in the hall and go, by the way,
that's $50, my last $100? Free one right there.
That's...
Well, anyway, it was interesting. It was good. It left me wanting a bit more, but people have said, well, all those things you're asking, those are in Ric Flair's book. I don't have time to read a book about
Ric Flair. I'm a 30 for 30 guy, not a read your book guy.
Yeah, right.
That's what I am. That's why I have a TV. That's why they make movies, because if the book is good enough, you'll turn it into a movie so I don't have to read it.
Right. I'm the kind of guy that says, don't make me read a book. You read me the book in front of my face with pictures.
Right.
That's what I want.
Right.
You read the book with pictures while I sit here and eat.
I didn't
buy. Okay, now we're talking.
I didn't buy.
And make it quick, all right? I need an hour, 2 hours
right.
at the most.
Right.